Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. I'm Mark, and this is Fallon, and we are thrilled you're here with us today to talk about, as we talk about, actually, this concept of training for godliness. And we have a special guest today, Pastor Mike Plummer.
Yes, Mike, we're so glad that you're here. I remember as Mark and I were planning for just podcast episodes, I came across this scripture that I had had on my computer that I had used for a devotional in the past, and it was on training for godliness. And I said, Mark, I think Mike would be a really good person for this. Let's see if he would agree to do an episode with us. So I sent you that email, and then you replied back, well, I just preached a sermon on that a few months ago. And so the Lord had his hand in that for sure. It was just a neat coincidence that I don't think was a coincidence at all. So anyway, before we dive into the topic, training for godliness, though, Mike, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate that. I'm excited to be able to talk about this passage. It's a great passage of scripture. But yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about my background. I'm originally from a little town in Indiana called Carlisle. I grew up out in the country, rural area. Wasn't really involved in church. Then when I got to high school, it was kind of through some divine appointments. God put people in my life, and through that I was able to hear the gospel, and God saved me. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Way my peers were able to witness to me, but then after high school, went to Indiana State and got an undergraduate degree there. Was really discipled through our campus ministry at that time. There was a big impact in my life. Met my wife through that ministry there. But then after graduating Indiana State, we'd been married right after we got married, we started working with youth in our church, and it was really through that God called me to the ministry. And so just a little over a year after we were married, we moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and I got my MDiv at Southern Seminary. And then when that was over, we moved to Fillmore and been the pastor of Fillmore Baptist Church ever since. So it's been a little over 12 years.
So that's awesome. I knew it had been a while. I didn't know. That's crazy.
Well, we've been married a little over 11 years, so...
No. Is that right? Yeah.
So interesting timing. So
yeah, it was similar timing.
And of course, the little town of Fillmore that we know well, but pretty cool. So we were thrilled that you came to our little neighborhood, I guess. Yeah. And so yeah, glad to have you here with us. And we're talking about training for godliness, and it just made me think when you were giving your introduction a bit. We're going to talk in Timothy and this scripture. Let me read the scripture first, and then maybe I have a question for you maybe about it. The scripture is from 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. Do you want to read that for us?
I do. Okay. I was going to ask you if I could read it instead of you. Okay. Okay, starting with verse 6. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers.
Yeah, so that is the scripture we're going to be discussing today. One of the things, Mike, I wanted to ask you a little bit about was the historical context a bit is Paul and Timothy's relationship. Paul was Timothy's mentor, and you were giving your introduction and you were talking about you had some mentors in high school that, you know, maybe you didn't know they were mentors at the time, but ended up being pretty important mentors for you. But why was it so important that Paul decided to write this to Timothy about training for godliness? What was the impetus for him to do that in your view?
Yeah. you know, like you said, Timothy was a young minister there at Ephesus. He had ministered with Paul, and so I think that the concept of godliness, of course, would be something very important for that issue, right? And it really is. He's mentoring Timothy. You know, Paul is probably getting older at this point. We know by 2 Timothy, most scholars think that's probably Paul's last letter. It was a second letter to Timothy, and so in both of these letters, he's writing to pastors, ministers, and he's writing about the church and things that are, you know, very important that he wants to see happen in these churches. Because these churches, Ephesus was where Timothy was ministering, and he was having some issues there. And so Paul is writing to encourage him and also give him these instructions, telling him these things that need to be done as, you know, as they carry on this kind of mentor-mentee relationship.
Yeah, it makes me think a little bit about the importance of pouring into people. It's not just about your own walk in faith, right? It's about how you pour into other people who are also trying to walk in faith. So it's a really cool peek into Paul and how he thought about trying to, yeah, minister to these other pastors and help them on their journey through,
right?
Yeah, trying to become godly. So, yeah.
So I think an important question too is, what is godliness?
Yeah, I would define godliness as just someone seeking to be more godly, more obedient to God and His ways, more devoted to God and His ways. One definition in one Bible dictionary that I had, I think it talked about piety. Godliness is piety, and so seeking to grow in godliness would be maybe seeking to grow in piety. But that's probably not a word we use much, and I think it probably has negative connotations too. So, so I like to think of it in terms of devotion, right? Being devoted to God and God's ways, and seeking to be more like Him.
Is it related, or maybe kind of the same as the concept of sanctification? So you have justification, sanctification, or would you say it's different or related?
I would say definitely related. Okay. Yeah, okay. Definitely the related.
Okay.
Yeah. So as we get it, another thing that comes up in verse 7 a bit is what was Paul getting at when he was talking about not getting distracted by these old wives' tales and godless ideas? Like, what's your view on that? Like, why was that an important piece for him in this context?
Well, I think throughout 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul is addressing false teachers and false teaching, right? That's a big issue that Timothy had to deal with there in Ephesus. And Paul really wants him to deal with that issue. And he really stresses it, that this is an issue, Timothy, you need to really to deal with. And Paul had actually already mentioned something earlier in 1 Timothy, very similar in the opening lines. He tells Timothy, he says, charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrines, not to devote themselves to myths or endless genealogies, right? So he's already kind of brought up this topic. And so I think that mention of old wives' tales or fables or myths, I think that's probably in that connection with the false teaching. Now, when we think of, you know, myths or fables, or we think like these silly little stories that, you know, no harm, you know, no big deal kind of thing, right? We kind of laugh at them. But I think the problem with what was going on here in Ephesus is that these things weren't just untrue, but they were actually harmful to the people, harmful to these Christians, right? They were being taken away from the truth, and it caused them to lose sight of true doctrine, and so it was leading people away. You know,
I find this so interesting because Scripture is so relevant to today, and I feel like many don't think it has any relevance to today. But how, you know, Paul's talking about old wives' tales and godless ideas, you know, not getting distracted by them, and I just think of well, that was prevalent back then, and look at now. You know what I'm saying? There is just so much, and like you're saying, it's not these harmless little stories. It's not sound doctrine, or you know, it's leading people astray, and we have the same things going on today.
Exactly. You know, as Christians, we are confronted every day with untrue worldviews, not, you know, unbiblical, untrue, just these wrong ways of thinking. We're bombarded with those secular philosophies that really do contradict the Bible. And so if we buy into those worldviews, we are being led astray from the truth, right?
Yes. And I feel like discernment is so difficult. I read in some book, it said discernment is, it's not being able to tell right from wrong. It's being able to tell right from almost right. And I, you know, there's a lot of, quote, gospel preachers out there who are not preaching the gospel. And I just, it's hard, I think. So
there's a hint of truth in a lot of that.
Right, exactly.
But that's the problem, right? Discerning that, the hint, the, you know.
Yes. Okay.
One thing about these old wives' tales that I find interesting is, and godless ideas, is maybe the ones that are a little more extreme, let's say, maybe more into the conspiracy theory a bit. We as Christians, if we sort of fall into those, I think that can actually hurt our witness at times too, right? If we're sort of proclaiming some of these, I don't know, like, yeah, again, old wives' tales, I guess. So I also think that's relevant here also, which is, I think it was important that he said, don't get distracted by those. Mm-hmm. Or I used to hear it called, you know, don't major in the minors kind of thing, like major in what's sound doctrine kind of thing. That's how I take it.
Yeah. And that's, that's good for all Christians to think about, right? Don't major on the minors, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to move on. Are you good?
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Okay. To in verse 8, Paul uses this analogy of physical training here, which I love. So, Mike, my question for you is, why is this example or analogy of physical training a good analogy for training for godliness?
Yeah, I think it's a good picture here. Paul, of course, using the games, the kind of the Olympic games as the imagery here. But it's helpful because it shows us that growing in godliness is something that takes discipline and time and effort, right? If you're going to grow in godliness, then it's going to take some spiritual sweat, right? And so there's definitely a relationship there. You think of an Olympic athlete, for example, you know, they train years to be able to get a shot at that medal. I mean, you don't just go out and, you know, run or swim, you know, the first time you've ever done it is the Olympics. No, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of discipline, a lot of practice. And they got those athletes have to, you know, everything they do is for a purpose, right? I mean, the diet, the workout routines that they go through, right? They're all very purposeful and it's all really focused, right? Getting that goal. And so it's kind of similar when we think of the Christian life that, okay, it takes effort and we got to be very purposeful about it. If we're going to grow in godliness, we got to be disciplined. We're going to be focused. It's going to take some sacrifices in some way. And just that effort to be able to grow in godliness.
Yeah, that's good. I think sacrifice is a good, well, discipline and sacrifice, you said. I think those are both very good words. You know, a lot of times we will readily sacrifice for other things or to, I don't know, what would be an example?
Well, I mean, I think health or whatever might be an example, right?
Yeah, the physical training. You know, but when we're training for godliness, we're not as quick to sacrifice our time here to spend it in the Word instead. Or if something happens to be going on Sunday morning, we'll do that something else instead of keeping holy the Sabbath. And
And I don't know, we'll see. I don't know how far this will go, but one of the things that comes to mind when you gave that answer about the training for godliness is the message, or maybe discipling new believers almost. Like, are we good at that, to telling people, like, it is a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice because it's very meaningful and you're going to find purpose in your life. So it's worth it. But it feels like sometimes we're hyper focused on sort of getting to being saved. And we're not so clear with people about, okay, now here's what the next steps are for you, new believer, and going on that journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Or we kind of do it in a, we kind of give them the checklist of things to do. Make sure you're praying, make sure you're reading your Bible. And there's really not a lot of instruction beyond that. Just do these things versus, and kind of like you were saying, with the discipling, you know, do these, just do these, check these things off versus come along beside me. And as we kind of do these together and as we learn together and as we, we're shaped and formed by the scriptures together, you know?
Yeah. One of the things I often wondered, maybe it's a great question for you, would be as a pastor, sort of every week, you sort of have this potential that you have people in there that are not believers and you have certainly a good, you hope that every week you have believers in there as well. So it's this almost like dual purpose during those weeks, right? That you're sort of trying to proclaim the truth and let the Holy Spirit work on people's hearts to come to Him. But you also have this sort of want to disciple. So I wonder, how do you approach that? And is that where sort of the Bible studies and the small groups sort of outside of the sermon itself come into play for that discipleship part for your church, for example?
Yeah. Well, I think that the worship service, for example, is mainly for believers. Now, of course, we will give whoever there that may be an unbeliever, we always want to give them an opportunity to respond to, to the word, right? And you want to leave that open. But I do see even the sermon as you're getting in the scriptures, you're digging down into them, explaining them, right? Because the letters, for example, were written to Christians, right? Paul's writing to churches. And so, they're writing to churches. So, but yeah, there is that balance. Of course, you always want to keep that open. If there are unbelievers in your congregation, to have that opportunity to respond.
Yeah. I think this concept of the, training and how athletes train, it's so vivid because we can all relate to that. And, we have training equipment too,
yeah, right, in our lives.
Right. That's a key piece of that, I would say. And I guess you got to use it though.
Yeah, exactly. I talked to, I remember this was years ago, hearing a guy, he was talking and he was talking about a treadmill in his basement. And he said, that was the most expensive clothes hanger I ever bought. Of course, what he meant, he wasn't using it for what it was supposed to be used for, but it just became, a place to put his laundry. And that's true. We can buy the most expensive treadmill or weight machine or whatever, all the bells and whistles, but it's not going to do us any good if we don't use it, right? If it's not going to shape us if we're not using that equipment. You don't get, it's not by osmosis. You don't get healthy or in shape by osmosis. You have to take the effort and use the equipment. And it's the same way, I think, with in the Christian life, that God has given us what we need, right? Peter says, His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And by the way, it's the same Greek word that Paul uses 8 or 9 times here in 1 Timothy when he talks about godliness. Is the same word that Peter uses. But we've been given what we need to grow to train for godliness. We just have to use that equipment.
Yeah, I like that.
How about we go deeper into this then? So we've got the athlete analogy. So how do we do it as Christians? What is the way we train for godliness then?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times we talk about spiritual disciplines, right? That's one term that's pretty common. So when we talk about spiritual disciplines, we're talking about things that Christians have been given to grow, right? So how do we grow? What are some, I guess, practical ways that, what has God given us that we need to use to grow, right? So the things like spending time in prayer, right? That's important. We grow by reading and studying our Bible. We grow by engaging in corporate worship, sitting under the preaching of the word, participating in the ordinances. So God has given these things to. We really don't have to guess what needs to be done. God has pretty well said, these things are important. This is what some acts of devotion that Christians need to be doing. So, and again, it's not just by doing those acts, right? The Holy Spirit, and this is the key. It's not just by making sure you pray. The Holy Spirit uses those things in our lives to grow us. He uses means, right, to grow us. So, and one book, I'll add this, one book I've always found, I found helpful. It's written by Don Whitney. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. It's a good book. He actually uses 1 Timothy 4:7 is kind of his theme verse for the whole book, and then he goes into a lot of different spiritual disciplines. So
awesome! Okay. We will definitely we'll link to that and put it in the
it's good.
Put it in the notes.
I need to add that to my Amazon cart. I have quite a few.
In a lot of ways, or I should say, in some ways, a lot of this our podcast is about this concept of discipline and doing, being disciplined so that you can really have freedom. It's such a strange paradox almost, like being disciplined in the word and in your training for godliness gives you such immense freedom to really live out this plan God has for us. So I love that idea.
Me too.
One thing, Mike, that comes to mind when you gave that answer on the different spiritual disciplines, I think, as you called them, what is the right, is there, from a frequency perspective, should people feel like, are those daily? Like you need to be in those daily. Is there something, important about that part of it?
I think that's a good practice, especially, in our culture, we have access to Bibles. A Christian in, the third century probably wouldn't be able to do some of these things. They wouldn't be able to have a daily devotion, Bible devotion like maybe we have in America. But I do think, we should participate regularly in those things. So just like with physical activity, right? Once a month, walking on the treadmill is probably not going to get you in a lot of shape, right? So
I wish it did.
Yeah, using your clothes dryer, what was it, your clothes hanger, once a month to walk on isn't going to do a very good job.
Well, that is where we're going to conclude our conversation for today. We will finish the conversation next week, but before we go, we would like to define a few words that were used in today's episode.
Yeah, so the words that were used today were piety, justification, and sanctification. So piety, what did you find out about piety?
Well, I found out that piety is about being more religious or reverent, and that's not, like Mike said, that's not really a word that we would use today. We would use something more like being more devoted to, for example.
Right. So we have these other two words that we mentioned, justification and sanctification, and they actually go together. So first of all, justification is this moment in time that we are declared righteous by God through our faith in Christ Jesus. So it's actually God saying we are righteous because of his son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's justification. How about sanctification?
Sanctification, so this happens after justification. Sanctification is a process. Justification is a moment in time. Sanctification, on the other hand, is a process. And that is, I smile as I say this because it's, I love the process, but it's hard too. It's this process of becoming holy, or this process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ as you move through life. And yeah, so after we become Christians, after we are justified, that sanctification journey happens all the way until we take our last breath.
Awesome. And we actually do ask Mike about justification and sanctification in part two. Right. So you'll be able to hear his response to that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks for joining part one. We're so glad you did.
Yes. Come back next week for part two. We're so excited to finish the conversation.